Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
It is a great privilege for me to be here this morning to be able to discuss the Word of God and to share some thoughts with you. It's truly a privilege to know Pastor Chris. And to know him not just as a pastor, but as a friend. Pastor Chris's friendship, Pastor Peggy's friendship, is one of those friendships that I can truly say that is for real. You are very lucky in your lifetime if you're going to have about If you have at least two people that you can confide in, you are a very lucky man. Majority of people that you get to know are people that you know on a casual basis. But these men, we are brothers. We are soldiers together in the cause of the gospel. So I'm really privileged to be invited here this morning. If we can turn our Bibles to the Gospel of Mark. Gospel of Mark chapter 10. If you don't mind, one of the things we like to do at our church, before we read the Word of God, everybody stands up. You don't mind standing up as you read the Gospel of Mark chapter 10, from verse 17 to verse 31. It's a pretty lengthy passage, but I trust that we will all follow. As he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up to him and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments: do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and your mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these things from my youth up." Verse 21. Looking at him, Jesus felt a love for him and said to him, "One thing you lack. Go and sell all you possess and give to the poor. You'll have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." But at these words, he was saddened and he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. And Jesus, looking around, said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus answered again and said to them, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." They were even more astonished and said, "Then who can be saved?" Looking at them, Jesus said, "With people it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God." Peter began to say to him, "Behold, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or farms for my sake and for the gospel's sake, but that he will receive 100 times as much now in the present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and farms, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." If you don't mind, just for my own soul, let's also pray again. Father, we just want to thank you for the integrity of your word. Lord, your word is life. Your word transforms. Baba, your word changes us. This is not just another book. This is not a newspaper that we are reading. We are reading God speaking to us. I pray, God, that as your word comes forth, Baba, that it will come forth accurately. Help the speaker, Father, that he will be loving. He will be clear in presenting the word. And I pray for the hearers as well, that their hearts, Baba, will be open to your word. We are so dependent upon you, Holy Spirit. We cannot finish this task if you do not help us to make clear your word of God. So we pray for preacher and hearer that you we are both, oh God, just feasting on this book, and we are both helped through, oh God, what this book has to say to us. So be with us now as we are worshiping you through the preaching of the word of God. In Jesus' name, and everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Hopefully you'll first get the title. I hope you get it. I want to speak under the title, I'll Follow You, Jesus, But Terms and Conditions Apply.
Umlayezo wanamhlanje uthi ngizokulandela Jesu kodwa imiyalo iyangena lapho.
In inverted commas, I'll follow you, Jesus, but terms and conditions apply.
Ngizokulandela Jesu kodwa khona imilayo elandelayo lapho.
One of the things that I love about God is that God knows that He's God.
Uyazi uNkulunkulu ukuthi yena uNkulunkulu.
God knows that He is God.
Unkulunkulu uyazi ukuthi
God has never needed a psychologist.
Unkulunkulu akazadinga umuntu ozomsiza.
Or a motivational speaker.
Umuntu ozomsiza ukuthi
to remind him that is God.
Ukuthi akhumbule ukuthi uNkulunkulu.
In fact, as you read through the scriptures,
mangafunda ezwini kaNkulunkulu,
one of the things you're going to see,
enye into ozoyibona,
is that it is God who is pursuing man.
Uzobona ukuthi uNkulunkulu olandela umuntu.
And it is not the other way around.
Kodwa ayikho.
In the scriptures, God is always pursuing man.
Ezwini uNkulunkulu huye olandela umuntu.
But God never follows the plans of man.
uNkulunkulu ulanda umuntu kodwa uNkulunkulu akahambi
ngemiyalo. Always man who follows God's plan.
Umuntu huye ohamba ngemiyalo kaNkulunkulu.
God always comes to the negotiating table with his own terms and conditions.
uNkulunkulu uza etafuleni aphethe imiyalo yakhe.
He lets you know his terms and conditions, and it's either you go with the program or you walk away from him.
Uza aphethe imiyalo yakhe wena uzokhetha ukuthi uyalalela noma uya.
Brothers and sisters, the kingdom of God is not a democracy. The kingdom of God is not a democracy.
Which
we didn't get together and vote God to be God. We didn't sit together and say, well, let's just get together. Maybe it might be a good idea for us to have God and to have some other rules over us. Let's give him a constitution so that he can rule over us.
Azange sihlangane sithi no mhlambe masingabazi noNkulunkulu bese simnikeza imiyalo ukuthi akhole ukusibamba.
We submit ourselves under him.
Thina yithe esisithoba phansi
kwakhe. We submit ourselves under his requirements.
Sisithobe phansi kwemiyalo yakhe.
If we don't do that,
uma siyenzi kanjalo,
we cannot have fellowship with him.
Asikhole ukuthi sibe nokuhlanganyela naye.
God is not so desperate for people to fill his kingdom.
Unkulunkulu akadingi abantu ukuthi bangene embusweni wakhe.
That they will come to him on their own terms and conditions.
Ukuthi bona benze ngemiyalo yabo.
God knows who he is.
Unkulunkulu uyazazi ukuthi ungubani
and what he can do.
Nokuthi ukhona ukwenzani.
That's why when you read the gospels,
ingakho mafunda izwi,
you will hear statements from Jesus such as this.
Uzoza uJesu asho kanje.
Jesus will say, "Come to me,
uzothi izani,
all you who are weary and heavy laden,
nina nonke nikhathele,
and I will give you rest."
Ngizonikeza ukuphumula.
Jesus says, "I know who I am."
Uthi ngiyazazi mina ngubani.
I am a rest giver.
Ngikhona ukunikeza
ukuphumula. The people that come to me,
abantu ebenza kimi,
are the people that want rest.
Abantu abafuna ukuphumula.
The people that come to me,
abantu ebenza kimi,
are the people that are burdened by their sins.
Abantu abaqedile.
I know what I can do.
Ngiyazi ukuthi
ngakho I will give them rest.
Ngakhona ubanikeza.
And there are certain kinds of people that come to me.
Bona abantu abakhona
ukuthi those that are weary and heavy laden.
Yilabo abakhathele.
If you are coming to Jesus,
uma uza kuJesu,
because you want a job,
ngoba ufuna umsebenzi,
he will not be able to help you. He cannot promise that he's going to give you a job. It's not that he's a bad person. It's just that he knows who he is. And he knows what he can do. Now, knowing what we know about God, that he is a God who's secure, he's a God who knows who he is, Nobody dictates to God. Knowing what we know about Jesus, the question is, how does God respond when somebody comes to him on their own terms and conditions? How does Jesus respond to a person who comes to him putting their own terms and conditions on the table? This recently happened to me, this issue of terms and conditions. My mother is with a certain company that helps recover stolen vehicles. She's not working there, she's a client there. You know, in South Africa, we live in a place of crime.
South Africa,
so people take out insurance for cars.
Insurance for
so my mother gave this person my number so that they can advertise their product to me. And so the other day they called me. And they described their service. They said, this is what we do. We recover stolen vehicles. If you are driving and somebody steals your vehicle, we promise that we will get it back. And they began to give me all the statistics of the cars that they recover. They told me that they are the number one company that does that. And I was so impressed. I was like, wow. We need to get this. And I did what every married man does. As soon as I dropped my phone, I went to speak to my wife. Said, love, this is the situation, this is the offer that we've been given on the table.
This
really looks good. You are speaking like that because you already want your point to come across. This looks good, love. I don't want any... I don't want anything that will go against this. And my wife responded in a loving way. She said, love, you know, I'm in this space. That I work around this kind of thing. It's not always as good as it looks. Can we just take some time? Let's study them further. Let's go to the website. I'm listening to them. Yes, this rebellious wife now. We need to get this thing. I'm going to show her. Let me go to the website. Let's check out this thing. I'm going to show her that this is the best thing that we've ever seen. I go to the website. Wow, it's so beautiful. You see the amount of cars they've recovered. And you see the beautiful website that they put out there.
But
as I'm looking at the website, they don't even give you there on the website. You have to actually download it from somewhere else.
About Nigeria's website, but when
it's written in small print. It's called terms and conditions. So I go, let me read the terms and conditions. And as I begin to read the terms and conditions, I begin to get disturbed. So this is what some of the things that they say in the terms and conditions. In the website, it was looking good. We can recover your vehicle. You will probably get it back. You will be safe in this country. Some of the terms and conditions say this. We cannot guarantee that we will recover your vehicle. I'm sitting there, I'm thinking,
oh,
that's not what the guy told me on the phone. The guy sounded very positive on the phone. I'm beginning to get worried now. As I continue to read, it gets more even serious. This is what they say. They say, we are not responsible for any loss or damages you may suffer if we are unable to recover them.
These people
are joking now. They are making me responsible for what they are supposed to do. By the time I'm finished with the terms and conditions, I have completely changed my mind. No, this is not as good as it sounds. That's what happens with terms and conditions. It's rules that are given by the employer to protect themselves against any unforeseen circumstance. When the employer gives the terms and conditions, They are protecting themselves. An employer never sells a product to you unconditionally. It always comes with terms and conditions. So this morning, this is what we're going to see. We're going to see, I believe, a man whom, when advertised, is going to look so attractive. Looks so beautiful. But upon closer scrutiny, we're
going
to see the fine print. That this is not as good as it looks. This man is coming to Jesus with terms and conditions. We're going to see three ways of how Jesus responds to those that desire to follow him with their terms and conditions. Three ways of how Jesus responds to those that want to follow him with their own terms and conditions. The first way, those of you are writing down. Jesus wants you to recognize that he's not just an ordinary leader like others. Jesus wants you to recognize that he's not just an ordinary leader like others. Let's read the story.
Verse 17.
Starts out like this. As he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up to him, a sign of desperation, a sign of that this man really, really wants to know something from Jesus. Not only did he run, but the Bible says he knelt. This man is very sincere. He really wants to know what he wants to know. And he asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Other gospel writer says, "What good thing shall I do for me to inherit eternal life?" Read the book of Matthew chapter 19 verse 20. They give us further information about this man. We are told that this man is young. Luke 18 tells us again that this man was a ruler. Probably a ruler of the synagogue. A magistrate in his time. Today, if this combination was to be seen on Facebook, this man would have a large Facebook and a Twitter following. This man is young. Not only is he young, he is rich. Not only is he rich, but he is religious. This is the picture of success personified. It's one thing to be young. It's even another thing that you are rich. But now you are religious. You've got money and you like to go to church. You will have a large following on Twitter. Women pray for that brother like that. If this man was alive today, he would probably be an elder in his church. He would probably be a regular church goer. He would probably be a man who tithes a lot. Because you can see that this man was very scrupulous in following the law. He wants to know, "I've done all these things. What further thing can I do?" This man probably had a good moral standing in society. This man strives to do the law by the book. In the dictionary next to the word successful, you would have a picture of this man. This is the man pastors want in their congregation. He is young, he's full of energy. He is a ruler of influence. And most importantly, he is rich. He's got money. Very difficult man to diagnose and counseling. He would easily fool counselors. He would easily fool counselors and the church into thinking he's got it all together. Question for us is, how does Jesus deal with this man?
It
says, as he was setting out on a journey, This man ran up and knelt before him. Asked a question. What shall I do that I might inherit eternal life? Notice how Jesus answers verse 18. Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. Notice Jesus does not answer his question. Question is, what must I do to inherit eternal life?
Good
Jesus, let's put that aside. Why do you call me good? If Jesus is saying that no one is good except alone, does that mean that he is distancing himself from being God? What does that mean? No one is good except God alone. No, he is not distancing himself from being God. Some of you here, you're going through the Gospel of John. You heard Jesus say, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never hunger. He who believes in me will never thirst. You heard Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He who walks with me will never see darkness. You've heard, you're going to hear Jesus say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 8:58, before Abraham was born, I am. Clearly Jesus was convinced that he was the second member of the Godhead. He was not confused about who he was. So why would he tell this young rich man, no one is good except God alone? The first option is to say that Jesus did not think that he was good. I think that option is cancelled by the fact that we know that Jesus accepted worship that is only due to God. We know that Pilate find no fault in him. We know that the devil tempted him, but he did not succeed. We know that Jesus was perfectly good, isn't it? So he's not saying, don't call me only God is good alone. He's not saying that because he believes that we are all sinners, including himself, and only God is good. So the question is, what does he mean?
So finances was funuktini.
Let's read it again.
Asifunde any food.
And Jesus said to him, let's read it from verse 17. And he ran up and knelt before him, saying, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. In other words, what Jesus is saying is this. Before I answer your question, let me get your definition of good. Do you realize what you are saying when you are calling me good? No one is good except God alone. The man sees Jesus as a good teacher, but Jesus must make him realize who he is dealing with before he can proceed with the question. He must realize that Jesus is not just another teacher who's got wise words to say and a nice example to live by. When the man is addressing Jesus, he must realize that he is addressing God. A good teacher will give you good advice on how you can have a better life. We know that. And it's fine. That's what good teachers do. They give good advice. A good teacher will try to model as best as they can the life that should be lived in this world. But Jesus is not just a good teacher. No one is good except who? God alone.
uNkulunkulu kuphela.
If you are gonna address me as a good person,
uma uzongibiza ngokuthi ngilungile,
you better realize what you're saying.
Fanele uzwisise ukuthi uthini.
You are calling me Lord.
Wengibiza ngokuthi uNkulunkulu.
This was very crucial for Jesus to establish at this moment in the conversation. Because later on, he was going to demand unconditional obedience from this man. And it's not just good teachers that want wholehearted obedience. The only person that can justify why he should be followed is God. Let me say that again. The only teacher that can justify why he should be followed wholeheartedly is God. God knows who he is, and he knows the kind of people that he came to save. When you call Jesus good, you are making a moral statement. What does Romans chapter 3 verse 10 say?
Chapter 3 verse 10.
It says there is no one who is good. No, not one. So it's okay, you can call Jesus good, but realize the implications of what you say. When you call Jesus good, you're actually calling Jesus God. I want to speak to the young people. I hope you realize that when you are rejecting Jesus, you are not just rejecting a good teacher, you are rejecting God. When you reject Jesus, you're not just rejecting somebody who's got good statements or a good way of living or good advice on how to live. When you reject Jesus, you are rejecting God. You can reject Muhammad's teaching as his own opinion. After all, there are many theories out there. There's many people that claim to have an encounter with God. You can reject Oprah's class as her own opinion. After all, she's trying her best to make sense out of life. We understand. We are all in the same journey. You can reject imfundiso yabaphansi, imfundiso yabadlozi.
You can understand the teachings of the ancestors.
You can reject that.
You can ngahala lokho.
That is how our forefathers try to make sense of this world. The best that they could. But when you are rejecting the person of Christ, it's not a good person you're rejecting. It's not a person who's got good advice you're rejecting. You are rejecting the God of the universe. Jesus is not just an ordinary teacher. Before we can even talk how you can serve God, we have to first acknowledge this God as God. You have to realize who you are dealing with. You are dealing with the God of the universe who has come to earth, and the Godhead is living in him. In fact, it's God in the flesh, and he's speaking to you. When you reject that, you are rejecting God. But Jesus does eventually answer his question of what he must do to inherit eternal life. But he does it in such a masterfully convicting way that by the time that Jesus is done with this man, this man has got nowhere to hide. Look at verse
18.
And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and your mother." Look at the response in
verse 20.
This man said, "Teacher, I have kept all these things from my youth up." Upon casual observation, you can conclude that it seems like Jesus, it seems like Jesus is taking to this man to the law because he believes that's where he can find eternal life. If you look at this thing casually, I want you to hold your place in Mark. I want you to just turn a few pages backwards to Matthew. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Jesus is preaching one of his first sermons. And he's very intentional in preaching the sermon. He is going to destroy every notion that the people in his day had of what they thought the law meant. The Jews in Jesus' day had a very narrow understanding of what the law meant. With this sermon, Jesus is going to destroy their presuppositions. That's why he's going to tell them, blessed are the poor in spirit, for
theirs
are the kingdom of, God. And he continues to tell them the kind of person that is blessed. But I want you to look at verse
21.
Look at what he says. The young man said, I have kept all these things from my youth. Because he had a particular understanding of what those laws meant. But I want you to look at Jesus explain the true meaning of the law. Verse 21, he says, you have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not commit murder. And whoever commits murder shall be liable to court. Jesus says, that's what you have heard. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. And whoever says, you good for nothing, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. Jesus not only takes the law of murder, he takes adultery. You have heard it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say, whoever looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery. And Jesus goes through law after law after law, breaking their presuppositions. By the time Jesus is done, everyone who thought that they were in good standing with the law is starting to question themselves. Everybody who thought they were a good person because they didn't commit adultery is now starting to question themselves. They now look at their own hearts. Says, Even if I look at a woman with lust, God sees that as adultery, then I am guilty. I'm not as innocent as I thought I was. This is why I say, upon casual observation, you can conclude that Jesus thought that the law was sufficient for this man to inherit eternal life. But if you look closely at what Jesus was doing, you will see that he's not taking him to the law because he believes that's where the man will receive eternal life. He's taking him there so that he can expose the self-righteousness of this man. Once this man sees that he is not as innocent as he thinks he is, Jesus will then present himself as the solution. This man is convinced that he has kept the law from his youth. What a courageous thing to do. You are standing before the Savior, the God of the universe, who sees through your heart, and you, with a straight face, you say, I have kept the law from my youth. How foolish is that? Jesus knows this man's heart, so he puts the law before him so that his self-righteousness will be exposed. Which brings us to our second point of how Jesus deals with those that come to him on their own terms and conditions. Jesus uses the law to expose the sinful heart. He uses the law to expose the sinful heart. Brothers and sisters, the law was never given to us as a means to obtain eternal life. Paul says that the law was our schoolmaster. The law taught us that we have sinned against God. The law taught us that we have all fallen short of the glory of God. The law showed us that we have broken God's commandments. The law for the Christian is a mirror to show him the character of God when they've missed it. That is why the law was given. Those of you who are driving, would it be fair for a traffic officer to pull you aside and say you've broken the law? If there was no law that says it's wrong to travel even 140 kilometers on, would that be fair? Would that be fair? It wouldn't be fair. But as soon as there's a law that says you must travel on 120 kilometers, as soon as you break that law, then you are in the wrong. The same thing here, because we have been given the law as a standard. And the fact that nobody has kept the standard means that we are guilty before God. But this man with a straight face looks at Jesus and says, I have kept the law from my youth. It seems like Jesus is in a corner now. How is he going to respond to this? The man has passed the test. He has not murdered, he has not done all these things. If it was us, this is the perfect time to say the sinner's prayer. Come forward. Say this prayer after me. Jesus. And you say, Jesus, I confess that I have kept the law, but I want to add you, Jesus, in my list of success. Come be my Lord and Savior. That's what we would have done. We would have been so impressed. This man is rich. This man is young. We need money in the ministry. He can infuse some cash in the ministry. He's religious. He wants to keep the law. How is Jesus going to respond to this man? Look at verse 21. I love this. Looking at him, Jesus felt a love. Compassion for him.
No Musa,
what love? He was. He loved him. He expressed a certain kind of. That's the kind of word.
If he had compassion on him,
because this man had a strong desire to keep the law. So when Jesus looks at him, he loves him. Which brings us to our third point of how Jesus responds to those that come to him with their own terms and conditions. Jesus demands unconditional obedience to those that want to follow him. Jesus demands unconditional obedience to those that want to follow him. The Bible says he felt a love for him. And he said to him, one thing you lack.
into iyodwa ongashoda ngayo.
Go and sell all you possess.
Hamba uyothengisa konke lokho unako.
And then give to the poor.
Unikeze laba abadingayo.
You will have treasure in heaven.
Uzoba nezibusiso ezulwini.
And then you can come.
Mawuqeda lapho ngiyeza.
And then you can follow me.
Ungilandele.
You cannot follow Jesus on your own terms and conditions.
Akukhona ukulandela uJesu ngemiyalo yakho.
Jesus is not confused about the people that he wants him to follow.
UJesu aka confused ngalabo abantu afuna ukuthi bamlandele.
He's not so desperate for followers.
Akadingi abantu ukuthi bamlandele.
That is going to lower his standard.
Ukuthi bazoyehlisa imiyalo yakhe
so that he can have a crowd.
Ukuthi babe nabantu abaningi abazomlandela.
You cannot squash for accommodation in Jesus' spiritual apartment. Can't do that.
Ngeyokuthi usifake nje endaweni kaJesu.
You must give him the whole room of your life in order to be accepted.
Fanele umnikeze konke okwakho ukuthi akhone ukwamukela.
Said that pastors will not tell the truth today.
Khona abafundisi mhlawumbe abangakukhulumiso namhlanje.
The truth.
Fanele basitshele
if you are not willing to give up all so that you can have Christ, you cannot be his disciple.
Uma ungazilungiseli ukuthi unikeze ukuyela ngakonke ukuthi ulandele
uJesu. You can't be worshiping money and Christ and you want to be accepted by him.
Ngeke uthandaze imali.
You have to see Christ as supreme above your possessions.
Fanele ubone uJesu ayiyiko
konke. You have to see Christ as supreme above boyfriend or girlfriend.
Fanele ubone uJesu abalulekile kudlula uboyfriend
negirlfriend. But pastor, I thought Jesus accepts anybody.
Mina khona abanye bazothi hayi becanga ukuthi uJesu uthatha wonke umuntu.
That's true, he accepts anybody.
Yebo, uJesu ukwamukela wonke umuntu.
Anybody that is willing to see him more valuable than things.
Yebo, wonke umuntu okhona ukumbona ukuthi yena ubalekile
kuwe. He will not lower his standards.
Ngeke ayehlise imiyalo yakhe.
If either you follow him on his terms and conditions,
wena ungabulandela ngemiyalo yakhe,
or you live with your idol.
Or when I'll feel in lalesithixo
sa. But you cannot have both.
Kodwa nje ukufuna ukuba nazo zombili.
The real Jesus knows who he is.
UJesu uyazazi ukuthi ungubani.
And who must follow him.
Nokuthi yabo bani afanele bamlandele.
He's not asking for perfection.
Akacela ukuthi ube perfect.
Or that you fix yourself.
Ukuthi wena uzilungise.
What he's saying is that you must recognize that you are a sinner.
Ufuna ukuthi wena uzibone ukuthi
that you are an idolater, you are a worshipper of material things. You got to recognize that.
Uthandaza izinto ezomhlaba.
See the sin before him.
Leto lesikwisona.
Be willing to repent not just from the bad things you have done but repent from believing that your good works can make you enter into the kingdom of God.
Ukuguquke kulezi zinto lezo sithandayo uphinde futhi uguquke ngolomcabango ukuthi wena ungakhona ukuzilungisa.
He tells the young ruler.
Utshela le
you rich
lemcebi.
Uthi you rich
shebile.
You influential.
Ukhona nokuthi usebenze nabantu.
You are sincere.
Uyanothando.
This is the man was sincere, brothers and sisters.
Lo muntu lona began to
turn. Ran up to him.
Uyakijima.
Knelt before him.
Was toba
kwakhe. What must I do?
What ifanele ngenze njani?
To inherit eternal life.
Ukuthi ngithole ukuphila ngaphakathi.
Jesus says you all of this.
UJesu wathi
but you lack one thing.
Uyenze zonke kodwa ushoda ngayi.
Go and sell all and give to the poor.
Thatha konke lokho nawe uthengise unikeze abadingayo.
Jesus doesn't say okay.
UJesu akathi
you can come and follow me.
Ungeza ungilandele.
Yeah, we need the money for the ministry.
Sizodinga leyo mali leyo vele kulo msebenzi.
Can come.
Bese wena
mara lentle idol is must watch his possessions.
Kodwa manje le idol lena lo sicco lesi fanele uyisibheke.
Yeah, but you can come.
Kodwa ungeza.
That's not how Jesus responds to him.
UJesu akaphenduli kanjalo.
Either he is the highest treasure.
Ufuna ukuthi yena kube uwe obalekile kulo
la zonke. Or he is not anything in your life.
Okanye yena asilu.
You don't have to turn to Matthew chapter 13 verse 44.
Masibheke ku Matthew 13 verse 44.
The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field.
Umuso kaJehova kaNkulunkulu ufana njenge
which a man found and hid again.
Ngombuzo umuntu wayawthola wafihla kanjalo.
The Bible says from joy over it.
Wokujabula kanjalo.
He sells all that he has so that he can buy the field.
Wathengisa konke lokanaka ukuthi athenge.
From joy over that one treasure that he found.
Ngoba abheka jabulele lokho.
Whatever that he saw as valuable.
Lokho abheka kubona ngathi kubalulekile.
This is rubbish.
Sakubona ngathi.
Whatever that he saw as powerful.
Lokho abheka kubona ngathi kunamandla.
He wants to get rid of it.
Sakufuna.
The Bible says he sells all of that.
Sakathengisa konke lokho.
And he buys that one treasure.
Uthenga lokho
okubalulekile. Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like that.
UJesu uthi lo umbuso kaNkulunkulu unjalo.
Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls.
Uthi umbuso kaJehova ufana njengoba
and upon finding that one pearl of great value He went and sold all that and he bought that.
Maybe you're
listening to this and say, Pastor, but this man, we could have used this man in the ministry. This man looks like he's a good person. It seems like you're too hard on this man. Why are you calling him? Why are you calling him self-righteous?
The
man's heart was exposed here. The man claimed that he had kept commandments from the youth. Let me ask the question, what is the first commandment? What is the first commandment? I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall not have any other words. God before me. What was this man's God? It was possession. So much for keeping the commandment, eh? Didn't even go through the second commandment. First one. So he proves that this man idolized money. He thought like other Jews at the time. Because I keep rules, therefore I'm okay with God. Because I don't eat any unclean animal. I attend yearly sacrifices. I keep the Sabbath. Therefore I'm okay with God. But Jesus brings home to bring the truth home to the heart. At least if this man was confronted with Christ and he saw his idolatry, and like Zacchaeus says, okay, I'm willing to sell all so that I can follow Christ. This would not have been a sad story. But look at the man's tragic response. Go and sell all you possess, give to the poor, you'll have treasures in heaven, and then come and follow me. Verse
22.
But at these words, look at this. But at these words, he was saddened. The word saddened. He was gloomy. Gloomy as in a cloud. He was somber. He was down. And he went away grieving. The word for grieving that is used here is the same word that Jesus uses in John 21. When Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? When he asked him the third time, the Bible says Peter was sad because Jesus had asked him the third time, do you love me?
That's
the same word that's used for this to describe how this man left. He was sorrowful. Why? Because he owned much property. We never get an update on this man. We don't know if he changed his mind. We can only assume that he continued his life of loving possessions. There's nothing wrong with having possessions, brothers and sisters. But when money and possessions are valued more than Christ, then that becomes your idol. That becomes your God. Tell the men in our church, I wish that many of you would be millionaires. I wish that many of you would have influential positions like Daniel and Joseph. But just because you make a six-figure income doesn't mean you have to live a six-figure life. You can be sincere. You can come to church. Lift up your hands. Even fool the pastor. But you cannot fool God. He knows your heart. And until you get real with God, the Lord, you are worth more than possessions. Lord, you are worth more than my career. Lord, you are worth more than my family.
wena uNkulunkulu ubalekela ukudlulana nabantwana
bani. Jesus will say to you on that day,
uJesu uzothi kuwe,
I never knew you.
Angikwazi.
Get away from me.
Suka kimi.
You value your life more than a relationship with me.
Uthanda ukuphila kwakho ukudlula ukuhambisana nami. Angikwazi.
Jesus demands unconditional obedience that for those that will follow him.
UJesu uthi labo bamlandelayo kufanele bayenze
lokho. Not going to lower his standards for anybody.
Nyeka ayisise imiyalo
yakho. You have to get rid of your terms and conditions.
Bane wena ulahle imiyalo yakho.
And say, here I am Lord.
Uthi yimi Lord.
I surrender my life.
Nikela
my dreams. I surrender my desire to have all these material things above you. I give it to you.
Na konke lokho ngifuna empilweni yami nginikeza kuwe.
Then you are ready for a relationship with Jesus.
Maso uqeda usho kanjalo so ulungele ukuthi ungahamba
no. We just saw the confrontation.
Sesibonile base babhekene kanjalo.
Look at the explanation now.
Masibone ukuthi makamchazela.
I'm going to be quick through this. Verse 23 to 27.
So akube 23 fika ku 27.
After the rich young ruler left,
uma lendoda ecebile sehambile,
Jesus looks at his disciples.
UJesu ubheka abafundi bakhe.
So Jesus has confronted this.
UJesu sekasebenze nalowo
rich young ruler.
Nalendoda lena ecebile.
Now he is left with his disciples.
Manje sekasele nabafundi bakhe.
You got to understand how radical this was for the disciples.
Kwane zwisise ukuthi lo kuphenduke
kukhulu kangaka. This kind of a man that Jesus just took away from the ministry.
Lo muntu lona uJesu amsusile.
That's the kind of man that disciples thought can enter the kingdom of God.
Labantu labantu labafundi bakaJesu.
A man who has kept the law.
Labantu labantu.
A man who is rich.
Labantu labantu.
A man who seems like he's got it all together.
Labantu labuya.
The disciples are shocked right now. Like
labafundi bakhe bamangele manje.
Jesus like Jesus missed it.
UJesu angathaka
sizini. This man could have infused money to the ministry.
Lo muntu ngabe uya faka imali
ukuthi asize. You just told a man who's rich to go away.
Lo wena usotshele lo muntu.
They are shocked right now.
Bamangele manje.
So Jesus uses it as a lesson.
UJesu sebenzisa lo.
Look at what he says, verse 23.
Uthi kuverse 23.
How hard it will be for those who are wealthy.
Kuzobanzima kangakanani kulabo abacebile.
To enter the kingdom of God.
Ukuthi bangene emusweni kaNkuluNkulunkulu.
See, the disciples were amazed at his words.
Abafundi bakhe bamangala.
But Jesus answered again and said to them.
UJesu aphendula
futhi. Second time, children.
Bantwana bami,
how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God.
Kunzima kangakanani ungena
emusweni. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle.
Ngaba lula ukuthi ikamela ingene emusweni le
senani. Than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God.
Nokuthi umuntu ocebile angene.
They were even more astonished.
Bamangala kakhulu.
And they said to him,
bathi kuye,
ha, that's my African interpretation. If this guy can enter the kingdom of God,
bathi uma lendoda engakhona
ungena, then who can be saved?
Ubani ongasinda?
I mean, no, nobody can be saved.
Ayekho umuntu ongasinda.
If this guy cannot enter,
mangabe lendoda engakhona ungena.
Look at Jesus' response, verse 27. It's powerful.
Masibhekene uJesu
phakathi. With people it is impossible.
Kuebantwini lokho akwenzakala.
But not with God.
Kodwa hayi kuNkulunkulu.
For all things are possible with God. Can you say amen?
Ngoba zonke ziyenzeka kuNkulunkulu.
Hallelujah. All things are possible with God.
Zonke ziyenzeka kuNkulunkulu.
Saving Patrice Motsepe is just as easy for God as saving a homeless person.
Ukusindisa uPatrice Motsepe kuyafana nokusindisa umuntu ongenakhaya.
God is not pacing up down in heaven thinking, "Yo, I want to save Patrice Motsepe, but he's so rich."
Unkulunkulu akijima ezulwini
alo. How am I going to do it? This man has got so much stuff. He's got so rich. How am I going to do it? Help me here. God is not stressed about this.
Unkulunkulu akathuswa yilokho.
It's just as easy for him to save a rich man.
Unkulunkulu khona usindisa umuntu ofuyi oyisave.
As it is to save a poor man.
Ufana nosindisa
umuntu. I have to rush on.
Masenqeda kanjalo.
You saw the confrontation.
Bonile masakhulisa.
This is the explanation.
Manje sesiyazi.
Now we see the celebration.
Masachaza bese sesiyazibona noku.
The question then remains.
Umbuzo nami.
What about those that have given up their terms and conditions?
Kwenzakala kanjani ngalabo sebashiye konke
and they followed Christ?
Balandela uChrist.
What about those?
Kwenzakalani ku
Peter is looking at this. You know Peter likes to talk in the gospel.
Oh Petrus manje ubheke lokhu and siyazi ukuthi uPetro uthanda ukukhuluma.
And he raises a point of order there.
Manje ukuthi hey point of order there.
Lord, because this guy has just walked away.
Lendoda leqedwe ukuhamba manje.
We have gone into the kingdom. We followed you.
Sina singenile sasilandela.
What's going to happen to us?
Kwenzakalani manje ngathi
yini izoyithola thina we gave
up. Athina sisilahle konke ukulandela.
Look at verse 28.
UJesu ku verse 28.
Peter began to say to him.
UPetros uthi kuye.
Behold.
Beg.
We have left everything.
Sishiye konke.
Followed you.
Sakulandela.
Verse 29. I love this.
Verse 29.
Jesus said,
truly
I say to you,
there
is no one who has left houses or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or farms for my sake and for the gospel's sake, who will not receive 100 times as much now in this present age, houses, brothers and sisters, mothers and children and farms, along with persecution. And in the age to come, eternal life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Many of you can testify to that. I don't even have to exegete this.
So
you know this experientially. You were hated by
people
because of Christ. Your family didn't like you because you decided to go for Christ.
But
when you came into the kingdom,
isn't
it true that you received brothers and sisters?
Hallelujah.
Amen. You received a new family that you never had. You were embraced and you were loved. And for some of us who are in the ministry, we can certainly testify that God has taken care of us. When we have left everything and followed Him, God has been faithful. You see where eternal life is found? It's found in Christ. Satisfaction is found in giving up all for the sake of Christ. One missionary said, I don't know any great man of God that has regretted giving up possessions for the sake of the kingdom. I don't know how you're going to translate this, but one person said, he is happiest who loses what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. He is happiest who loses what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. In many ways, this is a sad narrative. You have a religious man who's presented with the most valuable gift in this life, Christ, eternal life, and he rejects it. Why? Because of stuff. Because of stuff that he can't even take to the grave. This man is happy keeping rules. He's happy keeping ceremonies. He's happy worshipping on certain days. He's happy going to Moria on a certain kind of a time of the year. That's okay. Can go there, it's fine. Because at least he can measure himself that he is doing well. But you see, when you meet Jesus, Jesus is not impressed with your West religion. It's either you come to him naked and exposed, or you don't come to him at all. In conclusion, following Jesus is going to cost you.
Following Jesus
is costly. If you
want
to be serious with Jesus, you need to be willing to give up all for Him. The real Jesus, He's not going to lower His standards. Rich, powerful, black, influential, BE, He's not
going to
give it up. He demands to be recognized as unique from any other leader. He shows us that no one is innocent in the sight of God. We have all broken the law. And he demands unconditional obedience for those that will follow him. Let us pray. Baba, we thank you for the integrity of your word. Lord, we read of this young man and in many, many ways we can even see ourselves here because we loved, Baba, possessions at some point. We loved these things and we thought that we can become somebody great in the eyes of the world. But we thank you, Baba. At some point you came, you changed our hearts and you made us, oh God, to fall in love with you. You showed us the vanity of this world. Baba, you showed us, Uguti, apart from a relationship with you, nothing, Baba, in this world makes sense. And here we are today. We love you, we worship you. And Baba, you have taken hold of our hearts. And we can only say to God be the glory. Not because we are better than these kind of people, but it's because of your grace. It is our prayer that even today, that anyone, oh God, who is even having possessions in his heart, who is thinking that some relationship, some material thing, some dream that they must achieve will save them, I pray that you will make it clear that the best thing in this life is a relationship with Christ. That the world will not lie to them, that it gets better. That's all that we have. Apart from a relationship with your God. Oh, Baba, we are lost. We are lost, Baba, in this world. We have nothing. So we thank you. We believe that you can save a rich man just as easily as you can save a poor man. And it's our desire, it's our prayer that you even do the same here this afternoon. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.